This is the Aftermarket Radio Network. Carm Capriotto here, the pioneer of automotive podcasts, with an episode that anyone inside or outside our industry can relate to. We're talking about mental toughness. When a stressful situation happens, how do you handle it? Do you often wish you had a longer fuse when dealing with issues and problems? Every single day, we are challenged with decisions and different roles in our life. We're a friend, employer, employee, owner, husband, mother, aunt, grandfather, community pillar, and the list goes on. So what's the best way to wear all those hats? Well, keep listening and find out. Thanks to our partners, Apex and Shopware, for providing this episode. You know, the chance to nominate your favorite shop owner, service advisor, and technician of the year has arrived. The due date, September 1st, 2021. These annual Apex Awards recognize those who truly go above and beyond for their owners, team, and clients. Get on the web right now. Do this for me. AAPEXShow.com/service awards. You know, every piece of paper you touch adds up to seconds, minutes, and hours of your staff's time. Get paper out of the business and unlock your employees' potential with Shopware's digital shop management software on the web at GetShopware.com. Hey, do you have a topic you'd love to discuss on the podcast, or we should just cover it? Email me, carm@remarkableresults.biz. I'd love to connect with you. People wonder how this incredible team of mine produce the amount of content each week. Well, we do this because we are passionate for your success, believe in providing you this personal way to network, and to motivate you to seek the next level in your business and your life. Enjoy. Hey, warm welcome to Marianne Croce from smallbizvantage.com and also from Croce Transmissions in Norwalk, Connecticut. Hello, Marianne.
Hi, Carm. Great to be here.
It's always good to have you. We've appreciated each other over the years that you have supported us here on the show. And you're a smart lady. So thanks for coming back. We're going to talk about mental toughness. And you and I were saying, damn, that could be a pretty heavy topic, couldn't it?
Yes, it could. But it doesn't have to be. It doesn't have to be at all. Mental toughness is something that we don't think a lot about. But really what it is, very simply, it's the ability to be flexible and adaptable during challenge. So let that sink in for a minute.
I am.
That's really what it is when you break it down. So when we think about challenge, we can have challenge personally, we can have challenge professionally, and the ability to be flexible and adaptable when we face that challenge is really about how are we showing up? How are we showing up in the different roles in our lives as a business owner, as a technician, as a parent, as a grandparent? So that's really what it is, showing up to the best of our abilities and growing and learning to be the best version of ourselves in each role that we have in our lives. So really what we're talking about here is a part of leadership, right? And we've heard it on several other podcasts, and I know you've talked a lot about leadership, but that's what this is. That's what this helps you with, mental toughness. And as we know, it's difficult to lead others before you've actually started leading yourself. And mental toughness can help you with that.
If my ego is strong and I can't get out of its way, or I have a short fuse and something happens and I go, phew, you know, it's just the Independence Day weekend was here and, you know, we just lit the fuse and boom, I blew off into the sky. I showered my people with all this stuff and they look, God, what's wrong with him? Or it's this typical overreaction. Finding out exactly how to do this stuff, you know, why it's important, you know, what's important and how to do it, would be a great episode with you.
Exactly, right? Knowing what mental toughness is, knowing why it's important, and knowing how to actually implement this and do this is actually what I would love to be talking with you about today.
So let's jump in.
When we think about what it is, and this this could sound like a meaty kind of topic, but when you break it down and you unpack it and you see how this affects, you know, business owners, shop owners, when you think about it, we have to make a lot of decisions daily. The average person has to make a lot of decisions daily. So if you could make decisions more confidently, you can make better decisions and you could make them quicker. Think about what that would do, not only for your business or your career, but even in your personal life. So this is where mental toughness really comes in, and it really is an advantage for you. And it is a skill that you could build. And you mentioned something just a moment ago about ego and how when we get flustered or there's a lot going on, a lot of times we'll hear and see ego coming out. You know, there's two sides. When ego gets too big, right, we know the downside of it. But ego is there when we understand what it is. It's there to protect us. So if we feel that we have to defend, if we feel that someone is asking a lot of us or taking from us or wanting to take from us, ego is there as a human thing to protect us. But it can get away from us as well. And we have to be able to handle that and manage that in all the different roles in our lives. And that's where mental toughness comes in. So when we think about it, you know, as a tech, you have, and many shop owners were techs at one time. And as a tech, you have a role and you become very, very good at that role. And it took years for the experience, the training, the knowledge, for you to acquire all of that. But then one day you put on the hat of an owner and all of a sudden you step into that role. And how many of us were truly prepared for that role? How much of us were ready for that role? What kind of training, what kind of knowledge did we actually have for that role? Does that make sense, Carm?
It does. It does. And I also mentioned, you know, firecrackers and lighting the fuse. And I guess one of the things that I'm curious about is, can we learn to have a longer fuse and not overreact?
Absolutely. Yes. It's a skill. It's a skill. Mental toughness is a skill, just like leadership. It's a part of it.
But somebody comes to me with an issue, Marianne, and I'm working on mental toughness. I'm working on long fuse. I'm working on being a better leader. Is there anything in a mental toughness regime or skill that I could say count to five before you say anything? I'm just looking for a quick takeaway.
When we say your ability to be flexible and adaptable, what this is a process. It's actually, I have a system for this and it works really well. And basically you're asking about the how, like how does somebody actually do this, right? How do they implement it? And there's a couple of different ways that they could do this. And one of them is what I call POP, right? P-O-P, it's a framework. And basically what it is when you're facing any kind of challenge, and many of us are relating back to COVID as a challenge that we all dealt with personally or professionally. But here's the thing, many of us are dealing with or dealt with challenge way before that, right? In our personal lives and our professional lives, it could have been something to do with a business. It could be a health issue for yourself, a family member, relationships, divorce, some sense of loss. And it affects work challenges affects home and home affects work. So when you think about this POP framework that I'm talking about, it's really being, the first thing is to be positive. And the way that we can be positive and not have that short fruit fuse and not be ready to kind of blow up, or take things, internalize them, is when we have a plan. That's how you can be positive. If you know that you have a plan and you put a plan into effect and you've collaborated with your team, then you can be positive. And I know that that happened a lot with people that put a plan together with COVID, and you put a plan together with your family. And that's how you can be positive. So that's first P. The second is the O in POP. And that is optimism, being optimistic. And you'd say, well, how could you be optimistic during challenge when you're facing all of this? Well, the fact is that we've all gone through some pretty tough stuff in our life, and we've gotten through it. And if you get through something and you're not afraid to look back at it and say, what's my takeaway? What did I learn from that experience? How did I grow? What mistakes, what lessons were there for me to take from? And I did get through some pretty tough stuff. So you know what? I'm going to be able to get through this. So that's the O, to be optimistic. And if you only have positivity and optimism, your team and the world can view you as delusional, right? So what we need is the last P, which is practicality. And this is what I call like a reality check. You have to look and say to yourself, okay, what are my skills? Right? The four resources that we all have: skills, what challenge, this challenge that I'm going to, what it's going to take as far as money, what it's going to take in time, and people, because you have people on your team and you have people in your personal life as well. It could be someone to bounce an idea off of. It could be someone that's better at something than you are. That's their wheelhouse, their skill set. It could be a coach, a mentor. So when you look at all of your resources that are available and you sit down and you said, okay, that POP framework is something that I can use to actually have this mental toughness.
Makes an awful lot of sense. I heard a quote from someone the other day about, you know, God, I'm going through hell. And I think someone said, you got to walk through it and you got to get to the other side.
Exactly. Exactly.
I like that POP, positivity, optimism, practicality. The practicality piece, I guess to your point, is who's going to help me? How am I going to get this done? And that's a great formula for as we challenged ourselves with COVID. And in fact, Marianne, it's possible that there's a lot in the audience that could raise their hand and say, hey, because of COVID, I really have more mental toughness than I did pre-COVID. Because every day we didn't know. Every day was turn on the news, find out what the grim reaper was doing, and how are we going to get through this?
And that's the thing about mental toughness. It's already in you. It's already there. It's our job to tap into it and build on that skill.
So what you're saying is there's different versions of you sitting inside, and you've got to figure out which one to let out.
We are so capable of so many different things. We're capable of more than we realize we are. And if COVID didn't teach us that, I don't know what I don't know what would, if COVID didn't teach us how capable we were. Things that in our business, I'll use the business for example, but things that we were told or suggested that we should be doing to help our business, right? To better our profit, our sustainability, right? Our enjoyment in the business, all of these different things, because I'm big on that. And to do those things, but yet COVID came and all of a sudden, many people that said, oh no, I don't have time for that. I'm not going to do that. Or that doesn't make sense to me. All of a sudden COVID happened and they found a way to figure it out. So the capability was there, but they didn't realize that they were capable all along of doing those things. And the same thing happens with in personal life. When you think about, you know, children being homeschooled and, you know, people trying to figure out, you may have a partner, someone in your family who was working in an office and now they're working at home and being a support to them as well. That all took a lot of mental toughness through that. And some people were able to tap into that, you know, and other people, you know, struggled with it. And I talked to a lot of business owners, both inside and outside of the industry. And it's a real challenge to wear all of the hats in business. And I think the main reason of why this conversation about mental toughness is so important. Because when we step in as an owner, we're in a leadership role, but many of us had no training and no skills to do that. And you talk a lot about in the podcast, I've heard podcasts, we've talked about management and leadership and all those different types of things. And it's funny because a lot of times people are put in a leadership role because they were really good at something. They might have even been the best at whatever it is that they were doing in that role. So someone gets this great idea and says, well, we're going to make that person a leader. But here's the challenge when you're a manager or you're a leader. You are no longer responsible for that job that you used to do. You are now responsible for the people who are responsible for that job. But our default is to go in and say, okay, let me do it. I'll fix it. Because that's our comfort zone. And that's a hard transition for a lot of people.
Hey, Carm here. And coming up, find out how to handle a negative review or complaint as a business owner. Hey, Carm here, and I'm excited to announce the chance to nominate your favorite shop owner, service advisor, and technician of the year. These annual Apex Awards recognize the superstars among us in the industry, and those are the ones who drive the industry forward, serving as role models and truly go above and beyond to help keep the world's 1.4 billion vehicles on the road. To nominate a shop owner, service advisor, or technician, go to aapexshow.com/service awards for more details. I'll put this link in the episode's show notes. Apex has lined up an independent panel of shop owners and industry leaders to review the nominations and select the award recipients. The best of the best will be announced November 2nd during the opening keynote session at the Sands Expo in Las Vegas during Apex. Don't wait. Do it now. Nominations are due Wednesday, September 1st, 2021. Hey, look, I know that you know of a deserving person. The automotive industry is blazing through with so many twists and turns and changes. Careful not to crash. Yet amidst it all, the demand for repair is a constant. So the questions remain, will repair shops adapt or die? Well, our friends at Shopware Shop Management Software get it. Their CEO is a shop owner. They understand what it takes to repair cars, and they're ready for the next big thing in automotive. Shopware tailors mainstream web-based technology to the needs of the industry's leading repair shops. You can run entirely digital, phone optional, and paper-free. Interactive online repair orders will not only meet the needs of contemporary drivers, but they are blown away by the experience. Connecting the aftermarket together, Shopware's ecosystem enables next-generation shop efficiency and customer satisfaction without compromise. Full service onboarding and best-in-class support provide everything a shop needs to transform its business and stay competitive long into the future. Enjoy more accurate quotes, more profitable jobs, busier technicians, and of course, happier customers. On the web at getshopware.com. No doubt this is a heavy, heavy topic, and I like how you're really keeping it simple. And one of the things that I have just written down as I so intently listen to the things you're saying is be open-minded.
Absolutely.
Sometimes being open-minded means we're always learning something, not being too hard on yourself, that it's probably okay to have some fun, but as a leader, you need to make some tough decisions. And it's okay not to walk around being Clint Eastwood, tough guy, tough-minded, always tough guy, and to have an intimate side of yourself, too, and still be able to make the tough decisions.
You know, if you ask an audience, are you open-minded? Who's open-minded in the room? Most everybody's going to raise their hand, and we think of ourselves as open-minded. And it could be someone who's really open-minded to the technical side of the business, or someone is open-minded to different parts of it. But when you ask people to step out of their comfort zone, then open-mindedness is a little bit harder to do. So when I mention open-mindedness, being a leader and using mental toughness as a tool for that, you have to get out of your head. It's a different perspective. You have to get out of your head the fact that you have to know it all. The fact that because you're a leader, you have to have every single answer. When you're open-minded, you're willing to listen.
Thank you for that. Learn to say, I don't know.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
And it's okay. And it's really okay. It took me too many years of my life to realize that I could say, I don't know. When people always came to me for the answer, and I thought I had to be Mr. Wizard and the answer man. And I'll tell you, it was, I talk about that a lot. That was big. I don't know.
That was my biggest challenge when we opened our shop, because I was the one that was answering the phones way back in 99. And the biggest challenge for me to come over that, well, but I'm one of the owners. I have to know everything. I'm not technical. I own a shop, but I am not technical. And most of the people in the industry today, I believe, came from a technical background. So if a customer or a potential customer called and they started asking me any technical information, I was like, oh no, it hit at my ego. It hit at my capability and my inner core. Like, you don't have the answer for this and you're supposed to know all of this. And I thought to myself, do I really have to go to school now to become a technician to be able to answer these questions? And at first I was so frustrated, but I came home and I thought about it and I said to myself, they don't know what to ask. They're out there throwing out all these questions. What they really want to know is our process. And I helped create that process. So I knew that like the back of my, at the back of my hand. So I said, let me walk you through our process. And they listened. And once I realized that it wasn't the customer, I had to let go of my ego. It wasn't the customer. It was actually me. I had to direct the conversation and be of value to them, because, you know, wanting to talk to a technician really wasn't going to give them the help that they needed. They needed an appointment.
Yeah, it's okay to say, let me get you the answer. Yeah, let me get you the answer. So I'm a leader of a business, and I got a customer complaint. And it's just not my wheelhouse. I don't know how to do this stuff. Even though I'm the owner and I'm the quote CEO running this professional business, I've been teching for 20 years. I finally got up under my counter. I'm running the business and I have this complaint. It's okay to be able to say to your team, how should we handle this? What would you do? You don't have to necessarily carry that burden in the knapsack on your back at all
times. Absolutely. Right. When you get a review that is not favorable, or a customer calls and is complaining about something, it's an opportunity to go back and look at it and say, let me separate myself from this. It's not me. It's the business that they're talking about. It's so easy to feel personally attacked and get defensive. And then that ego comes out. Well, I have to defend how we did this. And I have to defend. And that's where the ego comes out and it can escalate a situation. But if you were able to separate yourself from the business and see the business, I call it going pro. If you're able to separate yourself from the business and see the business as a separate entity that has to live and breathe and function with or without you there, then you can take a different perspective and look at that review and say, okay, was there an area where the ball was dropped? Was there miscommunication? Let's go back to in our process of how we worked and let's see, because maybe there's something here that we can actually work on, or we can fix, or we can improve.
Makes all kind of sense to me, Marianna. You know, going back to the adaptability, the flexibility, I really think that we as leaders that need to find and have mental toughness, we've got to be able to pivot and not be so, if you will, tunnel visioned on things. And part of that, wouldn't you agree, is keeping up with trends and tech and not being afraid of change?
Oh, absolutely. If you're afraid of change and you want to keep things the status quo, what you're doing is you're leaving things to chance. You're kind of hoping and you're leaving things to chance, and you really aren't in control of your business and the direction or the vision or any type of goals that you want. And my biggest concern for the industry when it comes to owners is the amount of hours that they are spending working in their business as opposed to on their business. I surveyed in preparation for a presentation, and I surveyed a couple of hundred shop owners, and it was about work-life balance and how challenging is that for you. And as a, on a scale of 1 to 10, you know, 10 being it's very, very challenging, and 1 being they don't find it challenging. And the sidebar conversations from that was just amazing. There were so many people that were, you know, they're working 7 days a week, whether they're working at home on their business on the weekend, or they're working, they're coming into the shop and they're working on paperwork, you know, they're catching up, all of that. Yeah, they were really working hard, and they were saying that this work-life balance is a real, real issue. That affects a lot. That affects your business being, you know, is it as profitable as you think it is because you're putting in so many hours? How would you actually pay someone for that time? Is it sustainable? You know, owners will say things like, how am I going to keep up with this pace? Or why isn't my business further along? I've been doing this for so many years, right?
I'm on this crazy wheel. You know, I'm the little hamster on the wheel. And I can't get off. So I'm hearing you. They've heard hundreds of podcasts with great wise words and insights shared, but I still can't get off the treadmill. I can't get off the treadmill. So I'm taking all the paperwork home on the weekend. I'm thinking of this. I'm not doing any marketing. I'm not doing any hiring. And it's just this perpetual motion machine. So if I called you up and says, help me get off the treadmill. Thanks for the whole episode on mental toughness. But Marianne, let's take a side trip right now. How do I get off the treadmill?
The pop that I explained to you is a great way to start, because now when you feel like you're making better decisions and you have a plan, you're in more control. Another thing to do is when we look at our day, when we actually look at our day and we see what we're doing, go over like a 2-week period. And say to yourself, okay, what am I actually doing? Let me jot this down. I mean, like in our shop, everyone clocks in and off. But as an owner, what are you actually doing? Are you writing service? Are you in the office doing paperwork? Are you going into the shop, checking in on people? Are you putting out fires all day? What are you actually doing? If you were to take 2 weeks and document how much time you spend on what activities you're spending them on, you would probably look back and say, are these activities that I should be doing as the owner, or a good majority of these activities that I could actually have someone else do? Or we have technology in the shop that we're already paying for that we're not using to the fullest, and we could use features on there that would make some of these activities so much easier and smoother to do. And once you realize that, and now you have more time, you start saying, okay, what are the activities that I am supposed to be working on as an owner? And let me start focusing on them. And all of a sudden that shift happens where you're working more on your business instead of in your business.
Total review and reinvention of self, really trying to decide what you're doing, but I can't get off the treadmill because I don't have the profitability that could allow me the time or the people to get where I want to get. So I guess I bought myself a hobby. It's just a job. And there's a certain point in time, and I agree, it may be a great place to start. Create a plan based on what your real roles and responsibilities are, and if there's anything you can delegate so you can find some time in your world to work on the things that would generate, you know, greater gross margin, greater profit, greater productivity, and on and on and on. So getting off the treadmill for self It's not about the business. It's about the man in the mirror, the man or the woman in the mirror.
Exactly. Understanding what you're, because everyone has, no matter if you're just starting out as a brand new shop owner or you're a multi-shop owner or you've been in business for years, what we have to remember, because it can be intimidating at times, we all have the same four resources, all of us. We all have the same amount of time. There's only 24 hours in a day. How you spend that and what you do with that is a choice that you're going to make. But we all have the same amount of time. So it's the resource of time. It's the resource of money, right? How much money is this going to take? Because how much effort is it going to take is more with time. How much effort am I going to have to put 2 hours into this, 3 hours into it? Is there somebody in my team that could actually do this in an hour because it's not my skill set? Right? So time is important. How much is something going to take as far as time? How much money is something going to take? The skills, your skills, is it in your resource, your wheelhouse? What are you really good at? If you're really good at something, then that should be what you're focusing on. And when I mean good at it, I mean, we're talking about the reviews. You mentioned reviews. So if someone is not comfortable writing a response to, say, a review as an owner, they say, okay, maybe this isn't my skill set. So they write up a response, and before they send it out, they have someone else review it and look at it and critique it. Say, you know what? Here's the reason why I would change this or that, and go from there. And then all of a sudden it's like, okay, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. There's that open-mindedness. The defense is gone. The defensiveness is gone. And the goal is to help make this shop long-term. We want it to be sustainable. So that would be a situation, an example of a situation where they'd say, okay, you know what? I'm going to have you review my responses before I actually send it out. Or you may say, I'm going to have that person do it because they can come up with a response much quicker than I would. So that's going to be something that I'm going to have that person do. You already have the resource. So the four resources are that we all have our time, money, people, and our skill set. And sometimes we complicate that. We think it's so much bigger than it is. But even if you were to buy a piece of equipment, it's the same thing. You're looking at, do I have the money? What are the resources, right? What's going to be the return on that investment? How long is it going to take to pay it off? So it's those same resources that we're looking at all the time.
If I need help and I go get it, oh my God, that means that I don't have mental toughness.
No, it's already in you. It's already in you. All you need to do is tap into it, because you've been in situations before where terms that were said to us were things like, you have to kind of like pick yourself up and you have to go in and do the work. It may be in school. It may be if you were playing sports. There were times that you had to, come up with mental toughness. Now, look, before we're in a relationship with someone, like before we're in a partnership or a marriage, right? We don't know what that's like until we're in it. And it's a skill. It's a lot of communication skills that we have to develop. We become a parent. And as a new parent, it's like, oh my gosh, what am I going to do? And there are skills that we have to learn and build because we're in new roles in our life. I'm hoping to be a grandparent someday. And that's a whole new role for me, even though I was a parent, because I'll have to also respect the way my children will want to parent their kids and be supportive of them. So that would be a whole new role. And I would ask people that are grandparents about that. I would ask, people that have done it, practitioners, right? People that have done it for their advice, for their mentorship in those types of things. And that's what I would suggest with shop owners as well. Go out there and look for people that have actually done it,
Very enlightening. I so appreciate this. I love this episode. It was tight. It was succinct. I think you nailed it. I think we drove a great point home to the industry. Last call for you.
So last call for me was, when you think about all of those different roles that you have in your life, there's a different identity with all of those roles. And allow yourself to tap into those. So in other words, when you're in the parent role, you're there for your children and they have certain needs. So that role is a different role. You have to pull from those traits and those characteristics. When you're an owner or a leader, there are also different traits and other traits that you pull from. So I would just say, pay attention to that because you're already doing it. You just don't realize it.
Great words of wisdom. Thank you so much. Mary Ann Croce, Small Biz, that's a B-I-Z, Vantage.com, and Croce Transmissions, Norwalk, Connecticut. It's always a pleasure, honored to have you, and I enjoyed the conversation. Thanks.
Yeah, it was a pleasure.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive aftermarket podcast. Until next time.